Testament reading for Holy Thursday is written in Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. He did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Not if by many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, may you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so also ought to wash one another's feet are you. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for Holy Monday Thursday is based on the Old Testament. Thank you for doing that, Michelle. It's based on the Old Testament reading of Exodus chapter 24, which was just proclaimed from the lectern, along with this passage from Isaiah chapter 52. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Thus far the text. Although the word bloodbath seems like a harsh word that can bring varying graphic images to your mind, the text for this evening speaks of another sort of bloodbath, one ordained by God for your own good. During the past 6 weeks of Lent, you have been brought to meditate on Isaiah's portrait of Jesus Christ, the suffering servant of the Lord. The passage for this evening promised that Christ will sprinkle many nations. When the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled on you, you are washed clean from your sins. You are bathed in God's forgiveness and coated with Christ's own righteousness. You are washed in the blood of God's sacrificial lamb. In that sense, you experience a bath in his blood. Thus, blood bath. The language and concepts in the Old Testament text may be quite foreign to you and this culture today, but your Christian faith is founded upon the shedding of Christ's blood for you through his death and unto his resurrection. To receive beneficially the priceless blessings Christ gives to you in his Holy Supper, which you celebrate tonight, you must believe what God tells you about this sacred outpouring of blood. In his word, God has some severe and sobering things to say about sin. Two verses summarize God's judgment, Ezekiel 18:4-20. The soul who sins will die. And Romans 23 proclaims the wages of sin is death. Original sin inherited from Adam makes you mortal. Original and actual sins make you deserve the sentence of eternal death in hell. Sin leads to death. And in the biblical imagery, death involves the spilling of blood. Therefore, you may say that sin results in an evil bloodbath. In order for sin to be forgiven, God requires blood to be shed. God summarizes his theology of sacrifice by saying, from Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In the Old Testament, God prescribed a variety of animal sacrifices, and God granted the penitent believers the forgiveness of sins when certain animals were sacrificed and their blood was shed. The sins of the people were forgiven. It's made clear and proclaimed in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. Sometimes enormous numbers of animals were sacrificed with the outpouring of many gallons of blood. For example, when King Solomon brought the Ark of the Lord to the temple in Jerusalem, he sacrificed, quote, so many sheep and cattle that they could not be counted or recorded, end quote. Later, when Solomon dictated the temple, he sacrificed 22,000 cattle and 120 sheep and goats. The slaughter of so many animals was indeed a bloodbath. No doubt the blood flowed freely. That bloodbath was in harmony with God's old covenant with his people Israel. And it was for the forgiveness of sins which God dispensed from his temple. When Isaiah prophesied the words, he will sprinkle many nations, he was prophesying about Jesus Christ. What is the significance of Christ sprinkling you with his blood? The Old Testament reveals to you vivid, concrete events that anticipated what Christ would do for you. The sprinkling of blood was part of the Old Covenant. When God first established his covenant with Israel through Moses as a mediator, he instructed Moses to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificed animals on the congregation of Israel. The blood was called the blood of the covenant. When the blood was sprinkled on the people, they entered the covenant with God and became members of the covenant people. A visible Old Testament church. They were heirs and beneficiaries of God's covenant promises of forgiveness, blessing, and eternal life. As the blood was sprinkled upon them, the believing people received the grace of God. In the Old Testament, there were many sacrifices in which God told the priests to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificed animal. Often, the blood was sprinkled on the altar before God. In this way, the life of the animal was offered to God in the place of the lives of the sinful people. At other times, the blood was sprinkled on the people. The life of the animal, as Leviticus 17 proclaims, the life of the animal was in the blood. The wages of sin is death, and the people's sin placed on the animal required the life of the animal to be poured out with its blood. When the blood of the animal is sprinkled on the people, God conveyed to them forgiveness and life. In the Isaiah passage, the prophet Isaiah looks beyond the sacrifices of the Old Testament to the coming of Jesus Christ. The prophet receives a vision of how Jesus Christ will sprinkle many nations with his own outpoured blood. In some ways, it would be similar to the Old Testament sacrifices and sprinklings, yet it would be far greater than the highest and most heavenly gifts for those covered by his blood. The greatest difference is that Jesus himself was sacrificed for you. Jesus was marred and disfigured as he went to the cross for you. alone, sinless, blameless, perfect. He had no need to make satisfaction for sins, for he had none. But he did so for your sakes. He is the eternal Son of God. For this reason, his suffering and death had infinitely more value than the slaughter of animals. His death pays for the sin of the world. Because his sacrifice was of infinite and universal value, Christ need only make satisfaction once, for all time, and for all people. Once was enough. Once did it. His one sacrifice accomplished what the daily repetition of animal sacrifices year after year was never able to accomplish. Christ earned full pardon and peace for every man, woman, and child. How do you receive this forgiveness? Again, this is where the sprinkling comes in. In the Old Testament, the blood of the covenant was sprinkled on the people, literally, to bring them into the covenant with God. The leaders of the people then ate and drank in God's presence to commune with him. You are washed with the blood of Jesus Christ simply by faith alone. Faith created through the hearing of what he has finished for you. It really is that simple. God, in his bountiful mercy, has provided not just his holy word, but his holy sacraments as well. That he may pour his overflowing, superabounding grace upon you through the waters of holy baptism and into you through your ears yet again through Christ's words of holy absolution. God continues to deliver what Christ earned as he also pours his overflowing, superabounding grace into you through the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. In this meal, you actually receive the body and blood of your Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Just as the Old Testament believers received forgiveness when the blood was sprinkled on them, you receive God's forgiveness together with Christ's body and blood. So in the receiving of the sacraments, as well as through the hearing of his word, you may say, to use Old Testament language, that the atoning blood of Christ is sprinkled on you. To put it another way, from the very words of Holy Scripture, Revelations chapter 7, you may say that your robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You bathe in the grace of God earned for you by Christ's blood. Where the word is properly proclaimed and the sacraments rightly administered, the people undergo God's divine forgiving bloodbath. Sinful flesh, however, cannot comprehend these things. Not only do most scoff at the power of God at work in holy baptism, but even more are skeptical that this actually occurs when you kneel at the altar and receive the elements of Holy Communion. Some think that this talk about Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper is just a figure of speech, symbolic, just make-believe. The people of the Old Testament, however, and blood of the animals was real. They saw with their own eyes real animals being sacrificed for their real sins. And they felt the real blood of those sacrifices as it was sprinkled on them. For you, because God created faith that believes what he is graciously giving through his word and sacraments. Faith does not contend with the word of God. It gladly receives it. You do not trust subjective sensations of sight and touch to believe. You have a sure and certain word from the Son of God, which only faith can comprehend. This is my body, which is given for you.